If I miss you in the first greeting, a special good morning to, good morning. Good evening. Thank you, Uncle Eugene. Good evening to you. I spotted somebody on my way in. Eli. Hey, welcome back. It's good to see you back amongst us. Excited to hear more from you as we get to fellowship afterwards. If you are joining us for the first time this evening, we're continuing from the book of Daniel. We find ourselves in Daniel chapter 2. What we've covered already is that the Lord is going to use King Nebuchadnezzar as a rod to the nation Israel. The nation Israel had committed two evils. The first evil was that they forsook the Lord their God. And then what they did was they pursued after idols made with their own hands. What we did look at as well was that God is always in the business of raising up for himself men and women who will be a part of the work of redeeming mankind back to himself. We also saw that God is also in the business of raising a people from a fallen generation, a people from amongst darkness who are going to stand for him, proclaim his name even in the midst of this fallen world. You were then introduced to Daniel and his friends who had their identities challenged. But what happened was they refused to compromise as they had their allegiance firmly in God, whom they trusted in and whom their integrity lied in. So they had purpose in their hearts. You know, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, Daniel had resolved that he would not defile himself. Daniel had devoted his heart, he had purposed in his heart that he would want nothing but to see God being acknowledged as the sovereign, all-powerful God of the universe. Quick side note, although the book is titled after Daniel, although the main character of this book is Daniel, the book is not about Daniel. The book is about God. And in this book, we see that God is sovereign over all creatures and all things. Perfect song we sang before the message this evening. Our God reigns. He reigns over everything and he reigns over everyone. And what we're going to see is God is about to reveal his hand to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he's going to show through the prophecy that Daniel is going to give that God is essentially the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And no kingdom shall last his own. So this evening we find ourselves in chapter 2. So if you turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. And we want to read a bit of a long passage, so from verse 1 to verse 23. So that's Daniel chapter 2, and our reading will be from verse 1 to verse 23. It says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. And the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will show you the interpretation. Verse 5. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb and your houses shall be laid ruins. Verse 6. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show you its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is no man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter. O Chaldean, verse 11, the thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling place is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. And Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. Verse 15, he declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the dream. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Sorry, Emil, there's a bit of an echo. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we would like to first acknowledge the awesome fact of your sovereignty. God, indeed you reign forever and ever. God, you reign. Lord, we have your word revealed to us, the mysteries of the gospel, the mysteries of, like Paul found in Athens, the unknown God have been made known to us in the riches of your word. Thank you, O God, for your spirit who helps us and enlightens our minds and our hearts to understand these truths and even apply them in our lives. So Lord, as we dive into Daniel's life this evening and see the character and nature of God, please soften our hearts. Help us, Lord, to receive your truth with much understanding, eager to apply it in our lives and proclaim to the world that God is in control. I pray as, Lord, I speak, may I speak as one who has been called of God, as one who is led by your spirit. And God, I plead that I'd be honest to the text. And I pray, Lord, that this would be just a glorious and blessed time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first thing I'd like us to look at is the Lord's reminder that we need him. So we're going to see from the three different characters that are shown in this chapter that the three different people need God. Oof, sorry about that. It didn't look like that on my laptop. But the first thing is the world's power, or the king, is reminded of his weakness before God. So the first point is the world's power, or the king, is reminded of his weakness before God. We see this in chapter 1 from verses 1 to 6. The king, King Nebuchadnezzar, is finding himself struggling to sleep because of this dream that has unsettled him. He was, at this time, he's on top of the world. He's at the peak of his powers. He's at the peak of his strength. And this dream has challenged him. That which the king has worked so hard for has been challenged by this dream. God was about to show this king something he was not ready for. Something we need to know about King Nebuchadnezzar. There was no other power or government that could get the king feeling this way. The king was never troubled by any other kingdom or government. He feared no man. He challenged and defeated all of his foes. And God steps in. King Nebuchadnezzar was unmasked and could not be touched. But cue in the author of the universe, the King of Kings. It says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams and his spirit was troubled. His sleep left him. The God of the universe, the actual King of Kings, gives Nebuchadnezzar a dream. And in this dream, he sees that all of his powers could not resolve that which unsettled him. The King of Kings, God, brings Nebuchadnezzar to a place of no resolve. This was a man who became accustomed to averting crisis. He was used to getting rid of any enemy who would stand in his way. We see by what he was called by his servants. The servants call him, O King, live forever. This was a man who possessed great power, and the reality of weakness was foreign to him. But the reality we see this evening is that, friends, there is no power in this world that can completely hide from God. When God sees fit in his appointed time, he will get the attention of even the greatest of kings. The question is, what about you? How long do we think we can ignore God? If God could get to this untouchable king, how much more easier would it be for him to get to you and to me? You see, what we realize and is a reality is, isn't it true that when we reach the top of academia, or when we reach the top of the corporate world, or even when we reach the top of our ministries, we start to believe that it is us who is in absolute control. We start to be self-dependent and elevate ourselves to levels of egomania. And we realize from scriptures that in this place there is no peace. In Isaiah chapter 48 verse 22 it says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." What we realize from King Nebuchadnezzar is that his hands were stained with blood. All the kingdoms he challenged, he would kill and conquer those in his way, and he would capture the wise, and he would bring them to his fold. If you read the Psalms, many of the Psalms, we hear the cries of the weak, the cries of the poor, saying how this king has left them destined, and in his boasting has taken the goods away. For a second, I want us to consider our world greats. There was a president called Harry S. Truman. He's the man who authorized the decision to drop the atomic bomb in Japan. These bombs killed 129 to 226,000 people, most of whom were innocent civilians. We all are familiar with Vladimir Putin. He, to maintain power, he's willing to assassinate anyone in his way. He's known for being a war-ready president, ready to take arms with anyone who would try to dethrone Germany as a world power. Closer to home, Robert Mugabe, news had spread that there were secret spies who would listen to conversations and assist and assassinate anyone who would speak poorly against Robert Mugabe. Those who stood to oppose him for presidency, some have been attacked and others have been killed. A list like this cannot be complete without including Adolf Hitler, who was the guide of the Nazis. In his reign, 5.5 million Jews and other unwanteds were deliberately targeted and executed in sanctioned ghettos, work camps, and extermination camps. I honestly don't know how these guys could sleep at night. After the atomic bomb was dropped and thousands died, I don't know how the president slept, how Hitler slept after he had signed the decree that they should go after these Jews. I don't know how he slept at night. I don't know if their minds were plagued with the reality that maybe they aren't really in control. The reality that maybe they are indeed fallible, and indeed we know that they are in the face of God. That could only be an unsettling thought in the minds of these world powers. You see, these were men who possessed power to be described as gods by those who served under them. They possessed much power that nothing was out of the question for them in keeping this power. Psalm 10 verse 13 to 14 says, "Why does the wicked renounce God? They say in their hearts, you will not call to account, but you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless." You see, Nebuchadnezzar, he got a stern reminder, a poke in the chest that, hey, you're not in control. God is in control. It was God who would allow kingdoms to rise, and it was God who would allow kingdoms to fall on his watch. I don't know about you, but this gives me much comfort. It gives me great hope to know that it is the God that I trust who's in control. Even when we have world powers like Kim Jong-un, Vladimir Putin, or even Trump, or any other world power who is ruling today, I can trust that God has them all in the span of his hands. Do you trust the sovereign God this evening? Verses 7 to 13, we're introduced to the enchanters. The enchanters, or the wise men, would also see that they needed God. The first thing we see is that the king refused to disclose to them the details of his dream. We see in verse 4, it says, "And the Chaldean said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn from limb to limb, and your houses shall be laid ruins." Many commentators are still at odds. If maybe did King Nebuchadnezzar actually forget his dream, or was he testing his wise men? I lean more to the latter. What I am certain of is that the king was not taking any chances. He wanted to know for certain. He doesn't want his wise men to think that they've interpreted this dream and yet they have lied to him. So he wants to make sure. He says to them, if you are indeed able to interpret dreams, then tell me my dream. And when you tell me what my dream is, I want you to interpret it. He goes on and he makes harsh threats. He says, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is no man on earth who can meet the king's demands, for no great and powerful king has asked for such a thing of any of the magicians or enchanters or Chaldeans." This is a response the king wasn't expecting. The king has challenged many nations, he's challenged many kingdoms, he's went to the wise men, he's sought their counsel, they've given him the antidotes to many of his problems, but this one they couldn't answer. And he's enraged by the response. He says, are you concluding that you cannot help me find peace? Are you saying to me that I really have no control over this dream? Man, the king reaches boiling point. He declares fiery threats that if this dream cannot be interpreted, everyone, all the wise men will be put to death. For I will not go down alone. The king says, so the decree went out that the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. We already know from hindsight that there was no threat that this king made that was a light threat. All the threats he said he would keep them. Because we know that later he's going to throw Daniel into the lion's pit. We know that he's going to throw Daniel and his friends into the fiery furnace. This was a king who made no empty threats. Talk about cruelty. But bringing it back home, isn't it true that the innocent and the righteous often find themselves caught in the consequences of the sin of others? Daniel and his friends were not around to hear this king in distress. All they heard was a decree that their lives was being sought after. How many times have you found yourselves paying for the sins of others? How do you respond? Do you cuss them out and match their boiling point with your own? Or maybe have you ever uttered the words, "Man, these guys don't know me, and they will know me today." You see, the wise men realized that they were at the mercy of deity. The response of the wise men was that the thing that the king asked for is difficult. No one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling place is not on flesh, is not with flesh. Talk about bringing the high low. These men are brought to a point where they realize that they are actually helpless. They are brought to a place where they slowly realizing that they are actually hopeless. The king might actually kill them. The finite or the limited nature of man is made evident before the King of Kings. What the king was asking them was out of their reach. There was no way they could perform this task without the help of a supreme being. This had God's handwriting all over it. The Lord he's in the business of revealing himself to us. He's in the business of showing us, humbling us to see that we are finite and he is infinite. Whenever God acts, he acts in a way that pleases him. He is sovereign over the whole world and everything that happens in it. God brings the proud low. He lifts the humble and he brings them high. He allows his own son to suffer for our sins so that we could be redeemed in our own suffering. It is only in Christ that we could feel the most secure. It is only in Christ where we could feel the freest, knowing that our hope rests secured in him. Knowing that God is sovereign over everything. Knowing that God is the sovereign God who is directing the universe and our steps in his omniscience and omnipotence. How does that make you feel? I'm encouraged by Daniel. The third thing, Daniel and his friends also needed God. Daniel could have responded any other way. He could have responded saying to his fellow brothers, guys, we are in trouble. We need to run. The king is coming out after our lives. He could have pleaded with the king, king, I'm innocent. Please, there is nothing that I have done to deserve this judgment. You are acting unjustly. He could have even mourned and blamed God, yelling at God. How do you expect us, God, to sing your praises? How do you expect me, God, to minister to you in this foreign and hostile land? But Daniel was convinced of one thing. Daniel was convinced that it was indeed God who brought him out of Judah and brought him into Babylon. Daniel was convinced that God had gifted him for this service. He was persuaded that God was going to use his gifts in this time for his glory. I have to ask myself, where are the Christians today? Where are the Christians today in a world that's experiencing great crisis? Where are the elect who are called according to his good pleasure in the face of a world that is saying and proclaiming there is no God? Where are the Christians? When many in the church are suffering from extreme trials and tribulations, where are the saints who have been gifted by God to edify and encourage the saints? Where are they? God has given us many gifts so that he could use them to bless the church. Even in times of difficulties, when it is dark, when there's a dark cloud over the heads of some of the members in the church, God has placed you, God has placed me to encourage them, to reveal God to those who are hurting. We need more people like Daniel, who are ready to display to the world that we need God. We need more people who are ready to respond as Daniel did. Daniel ran to his friends and said, brothers, we need to pray. We need to pray, for it is God who can help us. But when we are caught up in the things of the world, our only response would be to take our light and hide it under the bushel. So I want us to look at three things about Daniel's response before we close. The first thing we see a faith that is uncommon. Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captains of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill all the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? And Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. this was an extremely bold move by Daniel because God hadn't revealed to Daniel what the king's dream was. But in faith, he says to the king, give me a deadline and I'll bring to you what the dream is and I'll bring to you its interpretation. I want you to insert there, for I know that my God is great. He stood on the promises he knew about his God. He would not stutter and fear this king when it was God who had indeed called him to Babylon. He says, I will use my gift if God sees it fit and will grant unto me mercy and favor. The second thing we see, a response to the only source of strength. In verse 17, Daniel went to the house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Man, it's unfortunate that we don't hear what the prayer was, like we read in the Psalms. We don't hear Daniel's prayer. But what we know is that God responded to it. Daniel knew that this was a task that in his own strength he would not be able to achieve. So he says to his friends, guys, let's go to God. Not as the last resort, but as the only resort. In a church that prides itself on building community, we really need to look for a community amongst us who are ready to pray when things are looking bleak. Do we honestly and earnestly pray to the Lord of hosts to redeem us from all our adversaries? In our prayer of faith, we have to look on it not as the last resort, but we have to look at it as this is the only strength that we have as saints in a fallen world. But I had to ask myself the question, what if God didn't respond positively to Daniel's prayer? The third thing is the praise of a God who delivers. Verse 19, we know already that God responded positively. It says, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. God came through for Daniel. At the perfect time, God answered Daniel and his friends in prayer. But what if God did not respond favorably to Daniel and his friends? Because the reality of God is that he does not have to answer our prayers in our favor. He is not bound to always say yes to even the fervent prayer of the righteous. For he is absolutely sovereign. In the riches of his mercy, he answers our prayers and he blesses us with the desires of our hearts in accordance to his will. But there's something I'm convinced by. Even if God didn't answer Daniel in favor of his prayer, I am sure that Daniel would have not been shaken. Because he had a strong understanding and a trust in the sovereignty of God. I know this from his praise. Verse 20, he praises God and he says, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. To whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we have asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter. This is a person who knew that God is in control. This is a person who knew that God was going to come through and God was going to keep his promises. But to close, the last point is, how do you respond when God reminds you that he is in control? When God reveals to you that your situation is out of your control, how do you respond? Maybe today, are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling like there's something that is heavy on your shoulders that you have no control over, that you have no power over? Maybe it's within your family. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's your age. Maybe it's even your health. Maybe it's the state of the country, our government, or even the state of the world. Maybe it even matters at school. What is that unsettling thought that is burdening your mind tonight? What is that one thing that is keeping you sleepless at night that you feel like you've lost control over it? You've tried everything and nothing seems to work. What is it? The question I have to ask you is, do you believe that God is in absolute control of your life? Do you trust in this God even when things look like that? Do you trust in this God who is in control of all things, even over the things we consider little? Do you acknowledge that there are things that even the wise man of this land will not be able to explain to you, that you'll just have to need to trust in God? How will you respond to God's response to your situation? Maybe you pray about this thing that is burdening you and God doesn't respond in your favor. Maybe God does respond in your favor. How will you respond? For God reigns. God's reign will be from everlasting to everlasting. God will set up kingdoms and he will bring them down. He controls the world and everything in it. He reveals even the hidden things and brings them to light. He even redeems those who are his. How beautiful a God we serve, who is faithful to those who are his. But the question is, do we believe that he is sovereign over all? Who do we go to when troubles of this time burden us? Let us pray. Father, I pray that we would be a people who not only acknowledge and know that you are sovereign, but a people who believe it. Lord, there are many things in this life that bring us unease. There are many things in this life that unsettle us. There are many things in this life, oh God, that make us even ponder and wonder, is God there? God, I ask and I question even myself, do I believe that you are in absolute control? I pray, God, that you'd reassure us in our hearts as you bring these reminders day by day that indeed we are finite and you are infinite. May we come to you and say, God, we have nothing but our faith in you. Please, won't you, by the power of your Spirit, give us freedom even over the troubles of this age. Thank you, God, for the fact that you do care for us. Again, the reminder that although you are transcendent, you are imminent, you are close to us, caring for the affairs of our days. So God, we even think of those who are in power. We think of the presidents, we think of the kings, we think about those who hold office over a nation. I pray, God, that you'd remind them, O Lord, that although they hold this office of much authority, it is you who is the King of Kings. Even in our own country, Lord, when we are uncertain with how our government will rule over us, remind us again, God, that you are in control. Nothing happens that you do not see. And I pray, God, that we would be a people like Daniel who are eager to say, friends, let us go and pray, seeking wisdom from God who will bless us in this time of trouble. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.